Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Folks, I don't want to hear ever again the word Nazi out of a Democrat's mouth. As in, Trump's a Nazi, Republicans are Nazis. Folks, somebody needs to send Brad Pitt and the Inglourious Basterds into Maine to take care of the Nazi problem they clearly have. Because folks don't really seem to understand the implications here of Graham Plattner winning that Democrat Senate nomination yesterday. See, back on April 30th, when Janet Mills dropped out of the race for U.S. Senate because she couldn't win the primary, he was polling at 61%. And again, Janet Mills was the popular Democrat governor of Maine. Yes, a lunatic liberal, but no, not a self-declared communist, and no evidence that she is a Nazi or has an SS Totenkopf tattoo anywhere on her body. And again, that is the insignia of the SS. You know, the guys who ran the concentration camps, killed millions, those guys. Yeah. She's just a run-of-the-mill radical liberal. Well, when Graham Plattner crossed the 60% threshold in the polling, she couldn't win anymore. She dropped out of the race, but she left her name on the ballot. Again, that was at the end of April, and Plattner was polling at 61%. Well, Janet Mills left her name on the ballot, so she was an option for voters yesterday. Yesterday, he won with 73% of the vote. Why is that significant? Because when Graham Plattner was polling at 61%, the media was still in shuck and jive mode. They were lying, obfuscating, covering up the tattoo the best they could, to the extent they were even admitting the Nazi situation. It was always, well, he had PTSD. Well, he did it while he was in the military. Well, you know, everybody has youthful indiscretions. Never mind, he wore the thing for 18 years. Since Plattner dropped out at the end of April, though, that's all ended. Democrats got a snootful of the truth on Plattner. Even MS Now and CNN admitted, yeah, he did know what he was tattooing on his chest. How do we know that? Well, we've had ex-girlfriends come forward saying it, but also his own campaign manager, who said, yeah, that's one of the reasons I dropped out of his campaign manager. He absolutely knows that's a Totenkopf, which means Democrats know. Their media reported it. And what happened? He went from 61% in polling to 73%. It made them love him more. Eric Erickson put out a tweet. I don't often agree with him, but it was pretty good, saying that Graham Plattner's a Nazi, but to Democrats, it's okay because he's a self-avowed communist. And he has said he's a communist. What does that tell you that I think everyone on our side is missing? The Democrat base isn't supporting Graham Plattner despite the Nazi tattoo. It enhanced his appeal. And why wouldn't it? Again, yesterday we had the stunning Gallup poll on the podcast. I'm still not over this. In 2010, 50% of Democrats had a positive image of socialism. Today, 66% do. In other words, Democrats are socialists. So we're Nazis. Again, Nazi's just an acronym that the New York Times made up so they wouldn't have to use the actual name of the Nazi Party, which was the National German Socialist Workers Party. Why? The New York Times didn't want you to catch on that they were socialists. And they didn't give a rip that he was violent toward women either, including locking one who disobeyed his wishes in a room all night till she calmed down. Like, if a Republican did that, that would be kidnapping and there'd be charges. But if it's a Democrat commu-Nazi, it's just fine. No, but in all seriousness, folks, Graham Plattner is now the perfect reflection of the Democrat base. And we need to get a real good look at what the Democrat base is becoming. I warn about this all the time. The best way to do that is go on Blue Sky. You don't have to spend long on there before you realize why Graham Plattner appeals to them. The virulent pro-socialism, the absolute anti-Semitic hatred of Jews. I mean, folks, it's over the top. The subtle distinction on the Democrat app, Blue Sky, is that they're not walking around saying, hey, I like Hitler. You'd probably get gang attacked for saying that. What they are saying is, hey, I like socialism. Hey, I hate Jews. Hey, Jews are to blame for everything. And I think what happened with Plattner is when they found out individually that he felt the same way, they said, you know what? That's my man. And it enhanced his performance.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right. On audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
The insanity with the left started with George Floyd and then led to depolicing, then morphed into a sort of hero worship of criminals and an idea that they should be free to walk among us. It's where the left's always been going because they're insane. So it's not really that surprising that we're here. But what is surprising, what I didn't see coming, is that the Democrats would extend this tolerance, heck, celebration of criminality, to white-collar crime if the right people were stealing the money. Folks, our republic simply cannot hold together if the new Democrat morality is fraud is okay if the people doing it are Democrat voters or provide value to the Democrat Party. Maybe they ballot harvest. Here's why. Most people don't realize if you get federal welfare benefits, Medicaid plans, Medicaid grants, you apply at the state level. It makes sense. If you need aid, you probably can't afford to drive to Washington to meet with a bureaucrat there. Enter Democrats and their total tolerance for criminality. And you've got corrupt state governors and agencies tolerating fraud. That's the shocking conclusion of a House Oversight Committee report on Tim Walz and the supposed criminal prosecutor of the state of Minnesota, Keith Ellison. They didn't just know about the mass fraud going on in their state since 2019. The $9 billion and counting, they facilitated it by intimidating anyone or anything that would try to stop it. Folks, how can we send federal tax dollars to Democrat states if this is the new moral standard, that it is morally wrong to try to stop anybody from stealing from the taxpayer if they are a minority, if they are a Democrat voter, a perceived Democrat grievance group, or an immigrant? You can't do it. You got to break the country apart. That's how serious this fraud is. Glenn Beck did a beautiful job breaking down the findings of this House committee report. And folks, whatever you hear about this, it's much worse. Because let me tell you what, Governor Tim Walz, who thank God is not the vice president of the United States, Governor Tim Walz opted out of running for another term rather than face whatever music is coming. So whatever you're hearing here, it's much worse. What we haven't heard yet.
So a House Oversight Committee has just come out with a report, and it's dropping the hammer on Minnesota Governor Tim Walz and Attorney General Keith Ellison. This report now exposes they both knew about the taxpayer fraud programs, the welfare programs, as far back as spring of 2019. That's $9 billion. That's billion with a B. Lost to Medicare fraud alone in one state since 2018. Another $300 million stolen from federal child nutrition programs meant for kids. Feeding our future and its cronies. Feasting while the system was looted. Now, here is the worst part. They didn't just fail to stop it. They had the authority, they had the clear authority to suspend payments, investigate, and shut it down. But instead, they chose political protection over people's treasure. Question is, why? They say fear of political retribution from certain activist communities. Fear of being called racist or Islamophobic. So instead of guarding the taxpayers' money, they guarded the fraud machine. Now, I want you to hear this. There is one thing about not catching it. There's another thing to turning a blind eye. And then it's an entirely different category when you take the whistleblowers, the public servants with integrity, trying to expose it, and you retaliate against them. And the retaliation was vicious. private investigators were sicked on these people and were told to dig into their lives. Photos of their cars and their homes, monitoring of their phones and their computers, questions about their school kids. You know, when I say questions about the school and the kids, it's like this. You got a kid going to Roosevelt Elementary, don't you? Be ashamed something happened there, huh? That's the kind of retaliation. Check-ins from the top, threats of military-style surveillance, warnings to stop digging or be labeled bigots. They had hotlines that were supposed to be anonymous, and it would expose who was calling. They blocked the tip lines. They shamed and punished anyone who dared to speak the truth. Turning a blind eye to billions vanishing and then actively silencing those who are sworn to protect the system, public officials, elected, appointed, betraying their oaths, betraying the people of Minnesota, and betraying you and me.
But wait, it's worse than that. Reporter John Solomon at Just the News caught a small section in the House report no one else seems to have noticed that shows you how far the Democrats have gone and maybe intend to go. Think about this for a moment, folks. Militarized fraud protection for criminals in Democrat states.
The other thing that we found out, the Minnesota state government, as part of its retaliation, was thinking of using military officers, people in the National Guard, to spy on state workers or to retaliate against them. That is a very troubling claim in the report. The findings have been referred to the Vice President, J.D. Vance, who's out overseeing that fraud task force that on a daily basis now is ginning up prosecutions all across this country, California to New York.
The fact that that would even be considered and reported by the House subcommittee is evidence of how far gone these Democrat areas are. How the Democrat Party is coming to exist as a fraud and theft mechanism to take money from taxpayers using the federal government as a gun and then redistribute it to all of the right people. It's exactly what Trump Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller described 2 weeks ago when he said this.
But what we found since President Trump came into office is that the Democrats have set up a system to funnel hundreds of billions and ultimately trillions of dollars to migrants that are in our country, oftentimes from places like Somalia.
Folks, every day I have a new jaw-dropping, just stunning statistic for you about where Democrats have stashed illegals, defrauding the country, letting legal immigrants defraud the country. I mean, it's insane. Just the latest comes from HUD yesterday, Department of Housing and Urban Development. And folks, it's good news when we find this stuff because we are kicking them out. Listen to this. Fox News reporting. 24,000 illegal immigrant households living in 20,000 homes they do not qualify for, paid with your tax dollars. And folks, it looks like it's going to be a lot higher because in addition to that, nearly 200,000 tenants were allowed to take up residence via HUD. You're paying for it with unknown eligibility verification. In other words, it wasn't even verified if they were eligible. Last week, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent put the size and scope of the fraud at least $500 billion a year. That's really good news. Since we just got some bad news that Social Security is going broke faster than we thought. It was supposed to run out of money in 2037. Now they're saying 2032. Folks, it's alarming when senators, U.S. senators like Rick Scott from Florida, tweets that Social Security Retirement Trust Fund may be depleted in 2032. New report finds, he writes, is everyone paying attention? We have just 6 years before Social Security is insolvent. Congress needs to stop burning money on fraud and crappy programs, balance the budget, and protect Social Security so we can keep our promises to American seniors. Well, $500 billion was almost exactly what the 12 rescission bills Trump wanted to put through the Senate would have cut. But John Thune ultimately only allowed one of those bills through the Senate. Remember the USAID PBS defunding bill? And that was good. It defunded $9 billion a year. But the rest would have taken us over $200 billion a year. But he won't let them go through. But good on the Trump administration, folks. They really are on this. They're really trying. This is a virtual ocean of fraud.
With Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.